Today's guest is Dr. Jitesh Sharma in India. After successfully completing his BHMS and MD in homeopathy, Dr. Jitesh underwent extensive training under homeopaths such as Professor George Vithulkas, as well as 35 eminent teachers around the world. He has presented various papers at international conferences, as well as presenting many clinical workshops and training young homeopaths at his homeopathic hospital. His passion for teaching has led him to conduct online and offline workshops on Materia Medica lectures, and he has conducted more than 80 workshops online and taught around 300 Materia Medica remedies online as well. Dr. Jitesh runs a homeopathic hospital, which is located in Odisha, and it's the state's first private homeopathic hospital. It has 30 beds for inpatients, and the outpatient facility sees 90 to 100 patients daily. You can learn more about his hospital and successful cases at www.jdshospital.com or check out his YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/JDS Hospital. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we speak with Dr. Jitesh Sharma in India. Welcome to the show, Jitesh.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely to have you on. I know you've been listening to the podcast as well, so it's great to have you on. And I was just saying to Jitesh, we're going to have to start recording because the two of us were like, blah, 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 blah. We don't even know each other. We've never even met each other before. But when you chat with a fellow homeopath, you immediately feel like you've been best friends forever, hey?
true. Definitely, that's what happened.
Yeah, well, it's so great to have you on. Now, you know the question I start all my episodes with. How were you first introduced to homeopathy?
Ooh, well, my father is a homeopath and I have been watching him since small. Like, in fact, I was his dispenser of medicine.
Oh.
So I used to make and I used to see how the patients are working on it. And I was like, when you're born with it, you obviously see that homeopathy is wonderful science and they have so much to do and it gives so many things. And the healing which occurs, it's not like, you know, very much, it's more of permanent. We call it cure in the terms. So that's what's pretty phenomenal for me, that let us do this only. And why to take other stream when you have everything and we have learned? So that was inspired me to take a homeopathy. And I was a great dancer. I wanted to have a choreographer. I wanted to learn choreography. But unfortunately, I met with an accident in which my left hand got a little damaged. And it was a pretty worse accident. And that actually hit me hard because I was selected for a good audition in abroad. So I missed the opportunity because on that very same day, I got a call that I got selected. And the day of accident. Imagine.
The universe has a way of making these things.
Yeah, like- that's all.
I think it's Gaurang Gaikwad. He also says he does dancing and choreography and all that. The two of you will have to get together and do a special dance and then for Homeopathy Awareness Week.
I was with Gaurang in another song. Yeah, another song I was there for a year.
Oh.
So I have studied from like more than 35 teachers around the world from the best homeopaths. So I have been learned under many, many teachers. The experience what I had is very, very, very nice. Mm. And especially Professor Vithulkas is like amazing.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. And that's the privilege you have being in India. You've got so many incredible teachers there and people really live and breathe it with every cell of their being. Now, is it just your dad that's a homeopath? Have you got any uncles or siblings?
Only my father. My brother actually refused to do homeopathy. So okay. We actually go. So I'm the youngest in the house.
Is your dad still practicing?
Yeah, he's still practicing. He's like 67 now. He's 67 years age and he's still practicing in the hospital. So we are two doctors in the hospital as a senior doctor. We have a lot of interns there. We have 8 to 9 interns. And then we have resident doctors, like 7 resident doctors. So they all do the case taking. First, the patient comes, they all do the case taking part. Then we sit together and we discuss, we reevaluate, then we give the medicine. That's what we do.
Oh, that's so fun, all that collaboration. But we're jumping the gun here because I just want to set our listeners up with this, that you actually have your own homeopathic hospital.
Yes.
Which, can you tell us how that started, what it's called, what you do, just as much info as possible? Because that's something I really want to come to India one day and see a homeopathic hospital. That's one of my dreams. So tell us when it started and how that came about.
Yeah, it started around like 2014. Like my father really wanted to have, see what happened. He told me, we sat together and we had an idea. Like if a homeopath has a very, very, in India, I'm talking about in India. Not in the abroad, because abroad, the working style is totally different. But what happens in India because of the mindset, because as you know, the history of India, how homeopathy evolved in India from very, very small clinics, right? So my father had also very small clinic, like I would say only a 200 square feet. That was the smallest clinic he had in the main town. And then gradually homeopathy evolved within here in our place. And everyone came to know. And now what happened? Like people had that marrow mindset that, okay, homeopath sits in a small clinic and he give that small pills and that's it, that the doctor is. Okay. So he was not so happy with that idea because he was all working like for 35 and 40 years and doing the same. So he told me that Lajitesh will open a hospital. So change the mindset of the people and to see till where we can do it and how we can do it. And let's people see and witness that, okay, because now this hospital is on like 4,000 square feet and it's a 4 floors hospital. And the first floor is the reception and the case taking. The OPD is in the first floor. The second floor is the private rooms for the patient. And the third floor is the general ward for the male and for the female. And so like this, we have created. And then when father told me that, okay, let's open a hospital. And we said, that's a fantastic idea. And I'll be trained to see, I'll visit other places where they have a homeopathic hospital. And I try to learn from everywhere. So I've been to Dr. Nikam. They have a homeopathic hospital in Pune. Then I went to Dr. Pradeep Gupta. He's in Agra. He's in wonderful. And he is my whole and soul guru, who has given a lot of things, I can say, with my folded hands, that I'm very grateful to him. What he has taught me, and I'm very, very glad to Dr. Pradeep Gupta, sir, because actually he has evolved me after so many learning from the teachers. He has given me a lot of gist, which has actually opened my practice to a next level, I can say, next level. And especially with this acute cases, chronic cases, and the way. So I got inspired by learning from so many teachers, because, you know, you learn from so many teachers, but nobody thinks about, okay, admitting the patient and, you know, keeping on top of your head all the time and just watching them again and again and see that whether your medicine is working or not. Every day have a round. So there are very, very few homeopaths around the world who actually take up this and that, okay, we will keep the patient with you. And the difference was that we never use saline. We don't use saline. We don't give any modern medicine, allopathic medicine. It's just that pure homeopathic, and we follow water dose concept. As for followed by Master Hahnemann, in like he already said that in 272 aphorism, also in 246 footnote. So we follow 6th edition of Organon very, very meticulously, because Hahnemann has gifted the beautiful science. And wherever I studied, let me share you this experience. Wherever I studied, everybody had their own small ideas, and I connected all the dots. Everywhere, wherever I was weak, I took that from that master, from this master, from that master. So this all combination has actually helped me to understand more better way to give medicine to the patient. So I have all the approaches, right? But I saw that many of the things can come to narrow down when you be very much open to listen what patient is saying, rather than, you know, just working on the back of the mind. And okay, as soon as he starts speaking, you'll see, okay, this is like Pulsatilla, this is like Natramure, and this should not happen. So I remember Professor Vitulkas told me that in another class, he said that whenever you think of multiple remedies, you put a paper and you note down everything. And at last you confirm the remedies if you want to look out for. That was a beautiful art. And because I feel this is genuine problem of everyone who has read a lot of remedies. And I have I'm a MD, a doctorate of medicine in Materia Medica. So in medicines is like a core in my core. So I just keep on run from A to Z, everything, whenever patient says anything. So yeah. I have been very, very meticulous that let us, and you know, we have all the clinic, we have kept like speak and listen. So listen is my from my side and speak is from patient side. So just don't get distracted that, okay, patient is saying, just listen, then you figure out. So we have a very strong protocol of follow up, more of Bonninghausen and Boger approach, more of, because as Bonninghausen was a closest friend of Hahnemann, and recently in Hahnemann's birthday, 268th birthday this year, I was in Germany in his house and I was invited as a speaker.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I shared my cases and it was a wonderful experience to witness places where Master Hahnemann, aww, it is Mecca for me. Like, yeah. I think for everybody, it's for everyone. Like, it's a Mecca of homeopathy. When you visit Meissen, you visit Germany and you go to the places where Hahnemann went to in Coethen, where he stayed for a long, like almost 14 years he was there. But, you know, very one thing, very interestingly, I want to share what I saw. Wherever Hahnemann's house was, there was nearby church. That's true. Nearby church. And I believe there has some connection with his church because of the bell or with the timing. Because I think there must be some connection, because I felt that why Hahnemann lived always near a church. There has to be some reasons if he has living near the church. So it was very, very, very beautiful experience what I had in Hahnemann's house, seeing his chair and seeing his all, even the medicine box. He has so many medicines that he used to give. So it was a wonderful experience of my visit with Hahnemann's house. And I believe every homeopath in this world should go and just visit and see what that man was. I believe he was a great scientist. For me, he's not like a doctor. He was a great scientist because he has predicted everything. The Meissen's, what we call like bacteriology. He invented everything. He worked so hard to give us so beautiful science as a gift for humanity. And I feel pity. Like many, 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 many doctors have been being. That's why I was telling this, because I have seen many, many practitioners still getting stuck with organ in third edition, fourth edition, fifth edition. But they're not following the latest, because in 246, in aphorism of 246 footnote, Dr. Hahnemann clearly wrote that this is my most altered, perfected method, what he discovered, especially LM potency, regarding LM potency. It's very pity that many in the whole world, very few LM practitioners are there. And what we have witnessed from LM is magical. Like, I have a case which I'm going to present soon. I gave LM and that 50 mm cyst got resolved in 8 days. Ovarian cyst, right? And she was getting operated in 9 days. Can you imagine? 9 days, 50.5 mm cyst of right ovarian hemorrhagic cyst, it was called.
So,
and also,
so 50 millimeter, yeah, 5 centimeter, yeah, cyst resolved 5 centimeter in 9 days. Cyst. That's impressive. Yes.
And that too, only LM. And she was in acute pain, acute burning pain on the right side. And we gave, and I myself didn't expect it that, okay, in 9 days it can eliminate, because I had an experience earlier when I was evolving at that time, that at least it will take 1 or 2 months or 3 months to get resolved, right? And when I saw the reports from the same radiologist, and he called me up and he said, what are you doing? I'll send more patients. How you're doing it? I said, it's just a holistic science and we treat based on the symptoms, what the patient's saying. That's it. We are more considering as a knowledge of disease. Definitely we consider knowledge of disease. But we, in the perspective of prescription, we more take what the patient is saying and what's the difference. So that girl has a lot of jealousy and everything. So I hope you got the remedy, what I gave, right-sided and a lot of jealousy with siblings. I gave Epis.
That's amazing. And in LM, and do you always just start with one, or do you start with
always one? Always one. Okay. Like that, my guru, Dr. Pradeep Gupta, sir. My master, he gave me a beautiful example. When you walk the stairs, do you jump second or third? Or you walk from the first step? I said, from the first step. So why you follow LM from 0 by 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8? Always start from the first. Then you gradually increase. Also for the cup methods, what the Hahnemann has said, the 5-cup method, I believe it has worked wonderfully. And also the olfaction method for the patients. Ah. It is amazing. You know, you have to just prepare the medicine and give, especially hypochondriac and oversensitive patients, if you give in olfaction method, it is miraculous. You can see homeopathy working so, like, I believe in nanoseconds, patient will tell you that, yes, I'm feeling better. That's all you're sitting in the chair for, right? Just to listen and getting peace. Okay, I did my best. And the patient's telling that, okay, I'm fine. That's all we need. We need a good sleep. Like in my early days, what happened, like still sometimes, like in the cases where we struggle, I keep on thinking about it, overthinking all day. Okay, what we have. I think it might be happening with you as well. I think every homeopath that had the feeling that, okay, we tried our best and okay, what should be done? We should see in a different angle of the same case. And we should, this happens with me a lot. Like when I used to struggle, like thinking, okay, what remedy I can give to that person and he would have been just get fine as soon as possible. What medicine? But I have believed that if the patient is with you, especially in the IPD, in the admit patient, you will have to think all day to get him better. So I believe it's kind of pressure in you that actually helps you to be a better homeopath. That's because you will really work hard when the patient is with you all the time and you will visiting him and he keeps on telling, okay, I'm better now, I'm not better, I'm better now, I'm not better. So if he's not better, you will still work out more and more because he's on top of your head. All time.
Exactly. So they're in your face. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to, with your hospital, so you've got the four floors. The bottom one is the outpatient and the admin. Yeah, and then the other ones, but you don't have any pharmaceutical medication at all that you administer?
I have a pharmacy. I have the pharmacy on the same floor of the OPD. And
homeopathic pharmacy or conventional or both?
No, it's purely homeopathic pharmacy.
Okay. Wow.
And that too, we don't keep biochemics. We don't give mother tinctures. It's only pure potentized medicines. As seven cardinal principles, that Dr. Hahnemann has clearly said that, which thing is dynamic and potentized, only that thing is homeopathy. So even if I have to use, like many of the times, many people use Berberis vulgaris Q. I prefer to use an LM potency or 3X. And I have seen so fast result compared, not even crude drugs can give you.
Wow.
When you treat in the same potentized medicine. Let me share you something. Most homeopaths use Hydrastis Q a lot. They have never experienced Hydrastis 3X effects. I don't know. They have not witnessed it. So they have been, I have used Q. In early days, I have evolved. Let me share you. I have used everything. So that now I have the guts to tell you. And you know, I feel a lot of pity. Many, many homeopaths says themselves that, okay, we are classical. What's classical? I believe everything is homeopathy. And when you do homeopathy, it's pure homeopathy. There's no point of being more of a classical prescriber. Okay, you are a classical prescriber, so don't prescribe then mother tinctures and biochemics. Like I have seen many, many people calling out themselves classical because this contradicts to the statement because Hahnemann never mentioned everywhere that, never mentioned that he used biochemics or this. These all were invented on the, it was evolved through other different men's in the, after Hahnemann's death. So these all things were discovered from a different angle, but this all thing merged together and in the name of homeopathy, everything got started. So this is a totally different scenario. But what I am trying to speak here that we should be follow like more of genuine homeopathy, what Hahnemann has taught. It's not about classical. It's not about anything. It's just a pure homeopathy, what Hahnemann wrote in his books and what Hahnemann told. So if we walk on his footsteps, you will definitely find amazing results, what you have never ever witnessed before, even in chronic deep-seated cases, even in acute. So what, like again, I want to quote my master, Dr. Pradeep Gupta used to say that there's nothing like acute and chronic. You have to decide whether the patient is reaching you today or tomorrow and since when he's suffering from. So that decides this is acute or chronic. How will you judge? Because patients never come. Patient has the problem from since month, 1 month. But he is coming to you. Now you decide it's acute or chronic. It's about patient emergency. Okay, help me. Because I have been suffering from 1 month. I have been negligent. But I'm coming in and sitting in front of you. Now I'm getting treated. So now you cannot judge. Is it acute or chronic? So there's no point. It's just a patient. And you have to treat him. And he should get better. Either today or tomorrow or to do it after. But he should improve. At least if you give a right remedy, at least 10%, 20%, 30% within a span of 2-3 days, because those days are gone when you give 10 mg and 50 mg one dose and you wait and watch, that patient never gonna return in your clinic. Never. He's gonna never come back because this ultra fast modern space need most fast treatment. And I believe homeopathy works especially faster than any other science, what we can do. And we all have witnessed it in our clinic. So I think if we practice in a very good way as a team, it will be miraculous.
And yeah, that's amazing that you, I love how you're saying you would come together as a team, all the doctors, and discuss a case. I think that must be magical for you as well. Like, because you learn so much from other practitioners and everybody has a slightly different take on it. We all see the case through different lenses and different life experiences and everything else. So that's pretty cool.
We should be very much open-minded. And I you don't know, because other person might have that information that you might have not read it. So that makes more important to, you know, learn. Okay. Because what I have seen, like people, we used to present cases sometimes in International Academy of Classical Homeopathy. Professor Vitholkas used to sit at the very back. I still have the picture. And that day actually was so hard-hitting moment for me that see this man, he's just around going to be 90. And he's sitting at back of the class and listening to some other students who is much, much younger. And I was so inspired that day. Let me share you. I was so inspired that the I think that humbleness, that simplicity, I believe every homeopath should have that.
Yeah, definitely. That state of innocence or that childlike mind, that childlike curiosity. They just keep our curiosity, hey. But Jitesh, I'm really interested because, you know, we don't have the privilege of having any homeopathic hospitals here in Australia. We used to have five, apparently, and I think about the 1960s or 1950s, they closed down. But what does it look like if a patient turns up on your doorstep there at the hospital? What's that process like? Who takes the case? How does it get dispensed? So you have people, you have inpatients as well there. Do you have any like diagnostic equipment like MRI machines or anything like that? Or like just talk for us here in the West, just talk us through a visual of we're arriving on your doorstep. What happens?
Dude, I'll put with a case scenario.
Okay.
I think that would be
clear. Yeah.
What happens, like suppose a patient in the emergency comes and they just come to the reception and they obviously patient is in a lot of pain. So I'll tell you the case of acute sciatica pain. And they already been to the government hospitals and they have already done the MRIs and they have already visited the neurologist. They took the medicine. It's not helping. So somebody see it always with the reference, right? Homeopaths are always like, you know, coming to reference only. Okay, I have no homeopath. You go there and you... So somebody referred them that you go, there is a hospital called JDS Hospital in your area. You go and you get him treated by Dr. Jitesh and he'll see. Said, okay. So they came and the lady was having a lot of agony in the pain. She was moaning, crying, shouting. I was not there. So my house and hospital is in front only. So house is here, hospital is here, in between the road.
That's handy.
Yes. So we took the plot in front of a house only. So it will be more convenient to manage both the things.
Great.
So in the house, I was there in the house and I got a call of my intern, the junior assistant. And he said that, sir, there's a case of sciatica. It has been referred and they have been so much pain, the lady. So I told, okay, you do the case taking, you find the location, sensation, modalities and concomitant. And then we think about what to give. So she sent me a recording video that she is behaving like this. So we were more into observation, more that what the patient is doing during the pain. So during the pain, she just removed the curtain where she was lying in the reception area. She tried to remove the curtain. She wanted the light. And then she keeps on calling for someone that, okay, you hold me, you hold me. And she was crying and she was like trying to hold off someone all the time. So that was a clear, like, you know, desire for company mode. And she was continuously moaning and she was continuously want some reassurance. So that made me think of that very moment. They have already given colocin. They already had given, my team has already given Baryonia and she was not improving at all. So I again told that, okay, you observe. And then I told them to give Pulsatilla because of this nature, moaning and they want something, reassurance. And again, then because as soon as you say, okay, you're getting better, you'll get better, you'll get better. She gets normal down. As soon as you don't say anything, so this particular behavior taught to me that let us give Pulsatilla because of this. And we gave Pulsatilla and in LM potency, let me tell you, in LM potency, within 20 minutes, she was walking on her feet.
Wow.
And she was bedridden since 1 week.
Wow.
And we had all the clinical evidence.
It's really hard to kind of comprehend
that. So I have all the clinical evidence and the videos. So we took her admit and we admitted for only for 2 to 3 days. And I left her on Pulsatilla 0/3. She's absolutely better till now. She has no relapses till now. And she has a cervical, she has an MRI, it has been clearly written of disc bulgings of L4 and L5. So if you run through that, you will miss the essence of the patient. So we know the intensity, we have the knowledge of disease. Okay, there is a lumbar disc compression in her body. So you advise them to take supplements of vitamin D. That's it's very essential because in India, I believe we have so much of vegetarians. So we don't expose to sun. We have a problem with vitamin D and vitamin B12 deficiency for sure. And let me share you, like, whoever is taking more of modern medicine, especially in diabetics, they are taking off more of a glimepiride and everything. They definitely have neuropathies developed because I think there is a paper also that whoever takes glimepiride, the B12 levels go down. So they keep on complaining of a lot of tingling and numbness in the soles. So you need to evaluate the things. And also due to B12 deficiency, they keep on coming of the tingling and the sensation. So it is very, very essential to advise them SIF supplement. So supplement, if you consider that this is not modern medicine or this is not homeopathy, supplement means supplement. Hahnemann has clearly said that something and diet and nutrition has to be, you know, given. And this part comes to the supplements, is supplement, is not homeopathy. And I believe very offended when people have abused medicine and they say that, okay, this contains vitamin B12. You give this homeopathic medicine, this gives B12. This is utter nonsense.
Do you mean if they were to give a vitamin D supplement or do you mean like vitamin D in homeopathic potency?
No. If you are giving vitamin D in potency, it's only in those cases where there is something, issues with parathyroid hormones and everything. That is a separate thing of giving vitamin D.
Okay.
But this will be more of tautopathy if you give it. But this role comes only in the cases where even after taking a supplement of vitamin D3, the patient is not absorbing it. Then you think of vitamin D as a potentized medicine. Then you think. So there is an approach of doing this.
I just have to tell you that while you're chatting, I'm just like, I just had a look in Radar Opus because I was just thinking, I have never heard of pulsatilla being used for sciatica. And I'm just checking here. There's 237 medicines and
it was a left-sided pulsatilla,
isn't it? But it's not in like bold, you know, it's italics, but it's not one of the main ones. So that's really...
It was a left-sided sciatica pain.
Oh, okay.
It was a left-sided sciatica. If you find left-sided, you'll definitely get pulsatilla, but very small.
Yeah,
it was more of, you know, that's what I observed when you see in the clinic, you know, that's why we have always kept the chair at a distance.
Yeah.
You should have that vision to see if the tall stoop shoulder comes, whatever might be the complaint.
Yeah.
We ask things, we take the case history and we find if anything is desire, colds, and he loves cold, we'll straight away give phosphorus.
Yeah.
That is the first prescription on base. And now if somebody is coming and sitting in the chair like this.
Yeah.
Then like this. You see, this is the pulsatilla behavior as well. Because of the tilting and the shifting. They want something to be lying down like this. This one. Yeah. And how Lachesis will sit? Lachesis will be like this. This observation has to be... Not all patients can do this. But yes, you should have that vision to observe the patient first. Observe, and listen what he's saying. You know, if lycopodium comes, he'll be like sitting like this.
It's so true because I'm even like if you look at sciatica left, there is 69 remedies and phosphorus is main indicated. But, you know, pulsatilla is just in plain type. It's not even in bold type. So that's just it just shows you like that observational skill is so important.
Yeah, that's very the main cool. thing in prescription. I believe observation can help you out in a very, very good way. What the patient is telling you when like patient is coming with a headache and you just is doing like this because he cannot like this. So you observe this intensity, what he's trying to do. And then you can decide, okay, belladonna, you have to give for the headache. So that way you have to think. And I believe few books have actually changed me a lot. And they are all females writers. Believe me, they were the top homeopaths, I believe, in the world, like Dr. Margery Blackie, Elizabeth Hubbard, Dorothy Shepherd. And I am a big, big fan of them, and especially Donald Forbister. They have actually worked very hard. The Borland, Donald Forbister, Margery Blackie. Because Margery Blackie wrote everything so simple, and Catherine Coulter also. But Catherine Coulter, only the Portrait of Medicine, Portrait of Homeopathic Medicine. That's a wonderful book, I believe, every homeopath. So we have a problem, actually. What happens, no? They have so many things in worldwide spread. But when you try to get the good books, it is very difficult to reach. You know, in India, now that Margery Blackie book is cost around 15,000. Who will buy? You tell me.
Oh, but 15, I wonder what that's in dollars. Yeah,
it is cheap. It is cheap abroad. But in India, the problem is nobody knows much about good books. That's a problem. And I believe there have been so much beautiful books and the true books, I would say, true books, not the derivatives. I like more of originality work, what they have experienced in their practice. So what Dr. Marguerite Blackie told, so I read Calcarea hypophos through her. Herself had arthritis and she used Calcarea hypophos 6 for her stiffness of arms and hands. And she was not able to lift it. And by Calcarea hypophos 6, she got absolutely well for arthritis of her hands especially. So in arthritis, especially if hands and arms, lot of stiffness, lot of heaviness, you cannot lift. I gave to a patient for Calcarea hypophos and it did magic. So that confidence what I get from these books, what I read, that was, you know, imagine you can admit that patient and you can actually help them. Okay, yes, we can do something about it. So it's not about that every patient in the world can be cured by homeopathy, but yes, we do have a better success rate compared to other scope, definitely what I have been seeing. And regarding this pulsator, let me share you another case. Acute case came. We have an ECG machine. We don't have MRI and CT, but we do refer to a center to get the, because we have a touch in radiologists, so they do for us. And then they come with the reports. And then we decide what to do with them, either to give them the medicine and wait and watch, or either to get admitted them. So then that way do. So let me share another case of many, in 2-3 cases I'll share that will be very amazing. First case, I remember there was a case in my initial practice. There was a case of fever, recurrent fever since 3 months. 3 months, he admitted to the best of hospital in the state, whatever the government hospital, the private hospital, he'd been to everywhere. He get admitted for 10 to 15 days, taking antibiotics, taking everything. His fever is not at all resolving. He came to me. He said, Jitesh, he wasn't known to me. So he said, Jitesh, please help me because I really want. And he has heard that, okay, I have learned from so many. I learned from Greece. I learned from, so there's a talk of the town. Okay, there's a doctor come from, he has been trained from so many. And so let us visit them. Okay, he's a homeopath. Let's see. So by the name and fame, he came to me and he said that, Jitesh, I'm suffering from fever and I have this dada and I have 103, 104. And he came with, you know, on the drip, on the cannula, with the drip, with the saline bottle. He came to me and wow. He was like, okay. I said, okay, what had happened? Tell me. He said that I took a bath 3 months back in a water park. And after the very next day, I started a fever. And everybody is treating me, but the fever is not at all leaving my body. And I was so thinking, okay, what could we do? And we took as pyroxia of unknown origin. And as he has taken so many drugs not responding, I gave pyrogenum 200, only 2 doses. And his fever was 103 when he visited. After 2 hours, his fever gone down. And after 2 days, he said, he called me that, Jitesh, you have done magic. I have been no relapse of fever. I'm so, so happy that I came to you. And that guy is absolutely well. And he sent it.
And pyrogen LM1?
I gave 200 potency. No, sorry. 200.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Just those two. So you said he was at a park. Was it at a park?
Yeah, water park.
Okay.
He visited a water park and he got infected somehow. And then, you know, that was so amazing for me that, okay, pyrogenum has such a great sphere of action because especially for PU, when you don't understand that what is the origin, you don't have chills, heat, sweat, you don't understand the pattern of the fevers. And so only the thing was that pyroxia of unknown origin, I prescribed pyrogenum and he gave me so many patients. I would like to tell you, he gave me so many patients after that. And the next case I would like to speak about in acute pain, especially left-sided, radiating to hands. And when you get this, you feel like, okay, he might be having angina and everything. There was a lady, he came with acute pain and she cannot even lift the hand also. There is so much of pain. I said, okay, let's do it. And my team gave her more of MacFos. A game of the pressure was better. By pressure, she was feeling much better. So they gave also colocin. They gave bryonia. Didn't help. Then I told that, okay, reevaluate the case. I told my team to do that. Then they said that, okay, sir. Then I was also standing back. So I keep on observing the patient. Meanwhile, they are just working on it. I keep on studying the behavior, what the patient's telling. And they were like, continuously, that lady was used to telling, okay, stitching is so much of stitching pain. What kind of pain? Just stitching pain, left side, chest, heart, what to do? Give spigelia. I gave spigelia and within 10 to 15 minutes, she was absolutely better. The ECG was normal though. When we came, the first thing I did is get the ECG done because I was suspecting any angina pain or any heart related any issues. So I checked and there was no heart issues at all. So I gave Spigelia and I told her to wait on the private room up. And she was absolutely better. Then I said, okay, go. You just keep on visiting. So that day and today, she never got relapse of this pain or anything. That way, homeopathy works. Yes. The stitching pain, typically stitching pain. That's what Spigelia is, especially left side. Let me share this. Spigelia is more powerful than Naprosyn 500. Like, I have personally witnessed that it is more powerful than Naprosyn, especially in migraines also.
When you have left side, is that an analgesic or like a pain?
Yeah,
killer?
Naprosyn is analgesic. Yeah, it's more of a painkiller, Naprosyn, but it's more powerful than Naprosyn, what Spigelia has in it. You know, Spigelia is a wonderful drug for especially left-sided migraine headaches and especially throbbing and stitching pains. So if somebody doesn't believe in homeopathy, if he has headache, you give Spigelia. He'll come to know, okay. At least for a moment, you will come to see, okay, he's improving. So he himself realized, okay, this homeopathy works so fast. So it has been a blessing of Master Hahnemann what gave to us. And even in angina, I would say, in angina also, homeopathy, the first remedy which can think of that is always arnica. What is always arnica? In angina, what we can think of angina? Arnica, in especially in LM potency, gives wonder results in acute angina, especially. Definitely, you will have some time to manage the patient. Then you can go for a cardiology opinion. At least you can manage, or you can give the medicine and meanwhile he goes to the opinion. So at least he will have something and he'll feel better. So I have my personal experience. I have seen that the patient who has a more of angina pains and which can keep on complaining, okay, this part is paining, and he's an already heart patient. And I have given arnica within 4 to 6 dose, even in the clinic itself. They felt absolutely amazing. And this is not I'm telling on the, like, you know, just a fluke. Okay, till now in my clinic, I have a constant follow-up of 3 to 4 months. They have never. And in fact, their EF levels also from 35, it went down to 55. Imagine ejection fraction also. So this is all depends on how you see. And then you have for arnica, you must see, you have to examine the parts when the patient comes. So this is hot. This is nose is cold. This chin is cold. Then you go down, okay, this is cold. You examine hands, this is cold. Only one part is hot. So this alternation of hot and cold leads to straight away think of arnica.
That
easily.
Is interesting. I did not know that about arnica. So are you saying the forehead will be hot, but you go down and hot. The rest is cold?
Yeah, when you examine the nose, it will be cold. And then you examine hands and feet. So that way it is examined. So it's more of a personal examination to the patient, what to do. And like Sina, when you meet Sina baby, he will never, give me handshake. He will never handshake you. When you're confirming this.
Interesting.
So meanwhile, at the back of the mind, you're trying to confirm the remedy. So you have to be very vigilant that how to do it in front of your eyes. How do you actually get the picture without the patient knowing even about it?
Absolutely. I've got a couple of remedies that I've got little tricks like Lachesis. When you get them to stick the tongue out, it always quivers. I don't know if I've ever given it.
True.
Hey. And it's really funny. The first time you see it, I just remember reading in the Materia Medica about the quivering tongue. And a few years ago, I felt a little bit silly, but I said to my client, can you stick your tongue out for me? And I was like, oh, like I felt so bad asking them. And they stuck it out and went like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then every time since, like, that's my confirming symptom.
That's way it is. You know, if you examine syphilinum, if you want to see syphilinum, you'll see all the people has a asymmetrical, like in syphilinum, it has been written asymmetrical, something would be not in proper shape, which is asymmetrical, either face, the jaw. So even if you examine their arc, right, in the arc, there will be a high arc. That confirms a syphilitic picture when they have a high arc inside.
That's interesting, because just before you start recording, I was looking at myself on the camera. I'm like, I'm very asymmetrical. Like, I'm just looking at this and I've got a very high palate. So I might have to take a dose of syphilinum. I'm usually more a tubicular girl, but I might have a syphilitic layer in there somewhere. Okay.
You know, there was a doctor called Dr. S.P. Day. He was an Indian homeopath. He was a direct student of Phobister. So we gone through the works of Dr. S.P. Day a lot, and we saw, and from reading S.P. Day, I reached to Phobister. So I started exploring it more of. So when I learned this about this all remedies and the works of Nosodes, and I thought that we have such a beautiful science of Sarcos and Nosodes. We are just not well equipped enough or you can say due to lack of remedies also, or and due to lack of knowledge also, we don't think the spontaneously, okay, this case is not cracking up, let us think of NoSod or that very case. And so if you're struggling with a case and which is not improving, you start finding something better remedy to it, and NoSods always come to the rescue.
I do love them.
Yeah.
I heard somebody said to me the other day, there was actually an Indian homeopath that said to her, you use tuberculinum like gold, like you only use it very sparingly and only now and again.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Because see, who told some student, some doctor people that don't use cephalanum in that? But where is the evidence? And when it has been written that you can use, see what has happening here. Someone said that they has been following since years. But
we have a lot of stuff like that in homeopathy. We have loads of Chinese whispers and loads of just somebody hears something somewhere and then they take it as gospel. And it really annoys me. I wish we could stop that.
That's why we should learn from the sources which is originally done rather than learning from someone who has just an experience of little bit. Because he will just see at the tip of the iceberg. But where is the iceberg? Read that iceberg. The complete iceberg, then you will get the picture of it. So that's why it's my good habit or bad habit, I don't know. But whenever I find something, I just get inside deep to it to reach to the sources that what authentication this guy has to say these lines. That actually makes you more genuine and more confident enough, because then you have the confidence to use it in a clinic and then you see the result. Okay, then you actually see the results in the clinic. So what happens? Everybody reads everything, but they don't get results in the clinic. This is the reason, because they don't go into the source reading and what is the authentication of that. Once you go through it, then you will definitely get that same type of, when you get that same type of results in the clinic, then you might think, okay, that master is amazing, because whatever he wrote, that is line by line, that is true to the word and that you have witnessed. Likewise, that's why I admire Bogar, Boning Hussein. Those people have actually created homeopathy in a different level. And after that, you know, see, I'm very reluctant, but let me share you, like most of the people have never ever experienced LM potency because of, I think you have read homeopathic love story of Hahnemann and Melanie. Yes. So the story, everything. And Melanie had that book, Organon 6th edition, and it was not printed for years. Like, I think it took like 150 years to get, when she died, then it was converted to French and then English. So this all time taking process has actually led homeopathy very back. That's why, because Hahnemann wrote it on the very right time, the 6th edition, but it was not on the shelf of the homeopaths till many, many years. It's almost 100. So Kent never experienced it, right? Kent never experienced it, the value of it. And then the slowly when the new authors when came and then they read, and especially Pierre Smith, he is gem. And Pierre Smith has actually practiced more of LM potency. And he was a master of it, and he actually showed it all the Hahnemann cases of, he documented all the Hahnemann cases also of LM potencies and the results and how, so marvelous.
I haven't heard his name before. Did you say Pierre? Pierre Smith?
Pierre Smith, yes. Pierre Smith.
How do you
Art of Speaking by Pierre, P-I-E. I think it's Pierre Smith, a P-I-E-R-R-E-S-H-I-M-D-T.
Okay, Pierre Smith. So it's from Europe somewhere with a name like that.
Yeah, from the Europe.
Interesting. I haven't heard of it.
There's a book called Art of Case Taking, Pierre Smith.
Okay.
Amazing. I have made a presentation on it. It's on in my, I have made a video which I links, I send it you, Art of Case Taking. So I have taken everything from this, and it has also helped us to evolve us to observe the patient in more of better form. And regarding the LM potencies, that guy had used a lot of LM potencies. Okay. And actually, he has gifted a lot of things to homeopathy. So his contribution is very huge. And I told you, Bogar Boning Hussein and Pierre Smith, Phobisters, and even Marguerite Blackie. In the book of Marguerite Blackie of Classical Homeopathy, she clearly mentioned it. Like, suppose if you get very much strong symptoms, you can give on a high dose, then you can follow by low. Suppose you get a sciatica. How do I examine sciatica? You know, in colocin, when the patient comes and I ask his pain. So I ask like this to do the limb. If suppose left sided is paining, I ask them to do like this and they feel better. Or they ask them to like this, or you fold. You're better or worse. And as soon as they say better, I give colocin straight away. They are better within few minutes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's amazing.
So there are many, many things like this. So as soon as I give, so I give, if it is not helping in LM, I shift to 30, then 200. Then I sometimes go straight away 10M. I have given many, many cases 10M, 1M, because the remedy was right. The potent is, even that's why I'm told that potentization and potency cannot be taught to someone else, because it's totally based on personal individual experience.
Definitely.
Because I have seen, let me share you. Suppose I gave LM1 to a patient and he was doing well and he was not, he got stuck somewhere and he was telling that I'm only improved 50 to 60%. I said, okay, let us shift to LM2 now. And as soon as I shifted LM2, there was an aggravation. I said, okay, what to do now? I shifted to LM3 and he was more aggravating. Well, I'm not done. And he said that, okay, I'm better, but I was earlier better, sir. Now I'm not better. I said, remedy is right. If I'm shifting the scale, it's getting aggravated. Let us do one thing. Start with 0/1 again. And as soon as I started by 0/1, he back to recovery. So that taught me, that individual taught me that there may be some cases where you try to upscale the potency, but they are good on that same particular potency.
I have had that with a lycopodium case. It was really interesting. And this child did really well on the 200. And then I took them up to the 1M and the mom just, she said it just didn't really do anything for him. I think, I can't remember if he was having aggravations or if she just felt this didn't do much, but she just kept on going back to the 200. And she was like, that potency is his happy potency. He does not want to go up or down. That is his potency. So it's so
too
interesting.
Bad. That's what. There are individuals like this. That's what I want to share. There are. So let me share you, like, there are many medicines which acts on particular potencies. Like we call it Sorinam. Sorinam acts wonderful in 500. Have you used in 500?
500C?
Yes.
Never heard of that.
Okay. In India, only one pharmacy makes it.
Wow. I've used it in 50M. I had a scabies case that went all the way up to 50M and he did great on every potency, but I've never even heard of a 500C.
Yeah, so Rhinum 500 acts wonderful. And likewise, like I told you, like many, many use, I think you must have heard Sabal Sarulata.
No, Sabal, S-A-B-A-L?
Yeah, Sabal.
No.
It's more of a prostate and the prostate disorders. It's more of like a conium picture.
Okay.
But a lot of constipation. So in India, maximum homeopaths use it in a mother tincture form. But what I have been seeing that in LM potency, it has been wonderful results.
Okay. That's why I love chatting with the Indian homeopaths, because they often use such different remedies to what anybody else in the world uses. And I think it's because you've got lots of wonderful Indian drugs, like plant medicines. And so it's natural for you to then want to use that in homeopathic potency. But a lot of us here just don't know about those plants. And so it just wouldn't be our first thought to use it. Jitesh, do you also see clients online or is it only in the clinic?
I do online.
Okay.
I do,
and people online. Can come from around the world and come and learn mm-hmm. from you at your clinic, yeah. right?
Yeah, at my hospital.
Oh, amazing.
And I actually have a lot of workshops online. I did the Materia Medica mainly. So I was more focused with the constitutional prescription more, because I have seen that even vitiligo cases, which are very stubborn, I found wonderful results. And Sifilinum is one of the remedy, you know, in vitiligo. It is wonderful. Has actually witnessed so many cases where nothing was working. We gave Sifilinum and the case cracked.
Mm.
But definitely we look the high arc also and the hydratory history.
Okay.
Hydratory history is very much important. So importance of family history. There's a book called Importance of Family History by D.M. Forbister.
Okay.
Significance of Past History.
See, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to sit down with you one day and just like get a list of all your favorite books. Or maybe I shouldn't, because I think that's going to cost me a fortune. But I have got lots. I've got some Phobuser books and Blackie books, Shepherd and Catherine Coulter books
Hubbard.
As well. Yeah, so
Hubbard.
I might have a
Elizabeth Hubbard.
Send me a list of all your top favorites. Or post
yeah,
it in
definitely.
Our Facebook group. You're in our Facebook group as well, hey.
Okay, I didn't know.
Oh, I'll see that. The Homeopathy Hangout Podcast Facebook group. You can...
Okay.
Post us your
I'll put a list of books. I think that would
wonderful.
Be much wonderful to see.
And your website, jdshospital.com. If anybody wants to find out more or book or want to purchase your courses or come and hang out at your hospital.
Yeah, definitely they can read more about the hospital. And my personal website is coming up. It's under construction. And there I'm going to put all the courses which I've conducted on the charge basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have conducted a lot of free sessions with the links I have already shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can share in your groups
all
the links and they can watch, because I have conducted a lot of free sessions.
Uh-huh.
And the paid sessions which I have done from Materia Medica series of SAR code, NOSODE, everything that I have on the charge basis, I have already taught them. So I have record all the recorded videos, which I'll gonna put up on my personal website for the teaching purposes.
I'm excited about that. That sounds really cool. Amazing. It's been so fun having you on the show, Jitesh. I can tell that we could probably chat for like days.
Yeah, it may be. And let me tell you, yesterday only I uploaded like all this, like around 14 episodes of podcast of Homeopathy in Acutes. In Spotify and everything. So Homeopathy in Acutes, there is a podcast of mine.
Hang on. You've got your own podcast as well.
Yeah.
How did I not know this? So it's called Homeopathy and Acutes.
Yeah, that's it.
So Homeopathy in Acutes or Homeopathy and
Acutes? Homeopathy and Acutes. Roman and Acutes.
I'm going to go look it up right away. That is so cool. Wonderful. Good on you. Amazing. Well, I hope everyone goes and listens there and adds it to their favorites and like and share and everything else as well.
Definitely. Please. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Wonderful having you on the show, Jitesh. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
It was so wonderful that you gave appointment and we had so much of talk, and I'm very privileged to meet you today. And I'm really grateful that God gave us the opportunity to share so much of things. And I believe homeopathy makes everyone equal.
And like I said before, it feels, it just feels like I've known you forever. Like, we can just chat. I'm sure we can talk for days and we will never run out of things to talk about. All the best. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you.
Thanks.